Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, oh man, do you wish you were in Studio B this morning? I think everyone's on one. At least Michael Kelly is this
morning. I'm just excited to see you, Amy.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
He is Michael Kelly, John Hancock, Mike Elam.
What's
up? For Chris Ranji, who is visiting his wife and kids in Chicago.
A man whose first and last names both contain four letters. There's something you don't see every day.
Oh, my goodness. That's an excellent observation.
Thank you, buddy. That's what I'm paid to do here.
That's a guy who plays Scrabble every day that would think in numbers like that.
Do you think that is as unusual as, remember when you were super impressed that I picked a team mascot that wasn't an animal?
Yes, and I thought there couldn't be any others.
But there, as it turns out, there are a whole lot, Mike Elam.
Who knew? Where did that come from?
Well, there's something you don't see every day, a team mascot that's not an animal. As it turned out, the vast majority of them are not animals.
I am nothing if not observant.
Well, if you are listening to us on 1120 AM, you might want to check out 98.7 FM or the Odyssey app, which is crystal clear. You can take us with you wherever you go. Rewind live radio if you miss something. You can also leave us a voicemail on the mic drop feature. There's a little microphone icon right there on the KMOX web, our Odyssey app page, and you can leave us a voice message. You can also follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
All right, well, we're going to get into it, but storms are coming. Snowmageddon. I think Michael Kelly might be a snow truther at this point. Yeah.
He's feeling a little,
let down?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, a little disappointed. Melissa Price Smith is going to be sworn in today as the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney.
Woo-hoo!
That takes place at 11 a.m. That is Governor Parsons' choice. Sam Page's option was shot down by the courts. Wesley Bell is going to be sworn in as a U.S. representative for Missouri's 1st Congressional District. So he is in Washington, D.C. And your St. Louis Blues, fresh off a victory in the Winter Classic, they will host the Ottawa Senators tonight at 7 p.m. Well, Happy New Year, John Hancock and Michael Kelly.
Back at you, Amers. Happy New Year. Where's Ranji?
With his family, wife and kids. In Chicago.
Thanks for listening.
Remember, John? Remember, 2 minutes ago?
I wasn't listening.
Where's Ranji? Why is Elam in the studio?
That's good to see you, Michael.
Thanks, John. Hey, I'm feeling the love.
John, I don't know if you know this, but he's one of the few characters that has four letters in his first name and his last name.
Is that right?
That's
amazing.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Did I tell you that Elam is male spelled backwards?
Wow.
There you go. It's even on the pen.
No.
You can play along.
Dick Ford just came to my mind because he also had four letters in both his first and last name.
That's fascinating.
Remember Dick Ford?
I do remember.
Dead or alive. Is Dick Ford still?
Oh, he's with us.
I think he is. Yeah.
Oh, he's with us. He's probably
awesome.
Right
Mr.
Now.
Ford, if you're out there,
436-7900. Love to hear from you, Dick.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, Dick Ford was around for the big snowstorm we had when I was a kid.
Of 1963.
In 1982.
Oh, close.
Because I went out and stood on the top of my swing set as a little kid.
And 82?
So, yeah, 1982. And it was a big, thunder snow happened.
Yeah.
Thunder snow. And so yesterday when I was on my walk, depressed as I could be, I was looking at the weather and it was saying 16 to 20 inches.
Yeah.
And I got excited.
Yeah.
I thought, listen, if we're going to have snow, make it epic.
Yeah.
And now I'm shopping around for meteorologists because we're down to, what did you say, Hancock? 3 inches, maybe?
Well, it's going to snow a little. Going to have a little ice out there.
I Googled Dick Ford, and the first thing that pops up is longtime St. Louis anchor Dick Ford passes away. That's from 2022.
Oh. From what year?
2022.
Oh, I don't think he's calling.
No,
feel
he's
bad that you
in.
Gave him the number.
Oh,
well,
poor guy.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It is a magical
but
time.
But 1982 was a big snow. I was busy matriculating that year. And,
help me understand what you mean by that.
I'm graduating from high school, big boy.
Really?
Yep.
Did you go out and stand on top of your swing set?
I did not. We couldn't get the door open.
Yeah, right?
The front door. So I was stuck in the house with mom and dad and, my parents.
Yeah.
Lovely people.
Yeah.
they never fought.
Yeah.
It was remarkable growing up, mom and dad, and, you know, because old school, World War II era. And they never fought until dad got a hearing aid.
Wait, how long have you been saying this about me?
What? 1982, during that snowstorm, I was just a gleam in my father's eye.
Is that you're not even born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But wasn't there a snowstorm in like 91 or ice?
Nothing like 82.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe there was an ice storm because the reason why I remember our backyard, and we lived on a hill, was just straight up ice. Mm-hmm. So you could sit on your butt and slide down the backyard, and basically we played this game. How far into the woods can you go before you hit a tree? And it was very dangerous on the ice because you would pick up some speed going down that hill. But that was also the year that, for all the Christmas photos, I had like stitches in my chin.
What'd you do?
I fell on the ice.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? She hit a tree.
Well,
she went too fast.
Yeah.
We had the ice storm in 05, if you remember that.
Yeah,
the power was out for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's the last one I remember.
So this week, I was walking in the park and I went by the Steinberg, which they've done an awesome job of, you know, sprucing it up, etc. And I thought to myself, I'm going to go ice skating this week.
What?
It's like a goal that I've made for myself because I'm like, I should do this. Guys, for like the last 3 days, I've been thinking, I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah, probably.
But I want to go do it because I don't want to be that person who's afraid to go do stuff that, but you know what? So I went by Amy, you know, all you runners are running, and I see all these people out there ice skating. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who look like my age and size, they're the ones with a cup of coffee watching.
Yeah.
And they're not out
there. I'll go ice skating with you.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll hold your hand so you don't fall down.
But what if I do? I'm taking you with me.
I know. I just thought about that.
Do they have those little things?
You're like 6'5".
I see people.
Like you're at Schnucks or the car.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the little. Yeah.
You know what you do? All you need is you're like a chair. Mm-hmm. You can use a chair and push the chair on the ice.
Bring my own lawn chair.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. You could sit in the lawn chair.
Push a chair around on the ice. Surely you can come up with something better to do than that.
Look at that lonely man with a chair. That is just so sad. He's out there pushing a chair. Hey, do you want to sit down and talk to me? I brought you a chair.
Yeah.
Come on.
Why does he keep talking to those little kids? Excuse me, can you help me?
Can you help me?
Can you help me?
Well, it would be harder for you, I think, to ice skate because your center of gravity is so high.
But I mean,
you're like 6'5".
Has that stuff happened to you guys where you started to worry, like, maybe I'm not going to do that anymore? Like, people who decide maybe they're not going to snow ski anymore or ride a bike or ice skate.
So the only one for me, I really regret not learning how to skateboard because I think skateboarding is cool.
Uh-huh.
And I think it would be cooler if I knew how to skateboard. But at this point in my life, and I, like I said, I'm active. I still play hockey, not skateboarding. That just seems like a way to get a concussion and a broken arm and a broken leg all at once.
Well, when you put 2 feet on the same thing and go in a direction, that's dangerous.
Well, let me ask you this, Hancock. Were you a roller skater back in the day?
Huh?
Were you a roller skater back in the day?
Well, I don't like to talk.
Would you go out for the all skates the men only?
I am a possessor of the skating merit badge for the Boy Scouts of America.
No, you're not.
I am.
Wait, there's a skating merit badge?
Well, there was back then. I don't. I can't speak for the status quo.
How did you feel going up to accept it when they announced it?
We all got it together. So Mr. Rosenthal, he took us out to the rink there, and we skated around on the roller skates, and he took us out to the ice place, and we skated around on the ice, and we all got the merit badge.
How about that?
And I didn't break my leg.
And when was the last time you were on skates or roller skates?
That may have been it.
You did it for the badge?
Yeah, yeah, at the age of 12.
What's funny, we were watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions.
Who got in?
Oh, they had like...
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews got in, Kool and the Gang got in.
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, well, Tribe Called Quest got in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So... probably not as rock and rolly as you would think.
Right.
Ozzy Osbourne did get in.
Well, it's about time.
But what started this thought process for me is when Kool and the Gang got in and they started playing some of their songs, my wife goes, oh, that's a roller rink song. And yes. I was like, oh, I remember that. All those songs that you used to have mm-hmm. while you were roller skating. And these were, hey, couple skate, here we go, backward skate, yeah, yes. all those things. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, in the game. We did have roller skating rinks and would go because when there was the couple skate, all the girls, I mean, this must have been like first, second grade. Sure. We'd be like, ah! And then you'd go hide in the bathroom. Like, uh-huh. that's what we did. We would all go hide in the bathroom. And it was always light blue or light pink, like really weird pastel colors at the roller rink.
That's a vivid memory of the old that skating is. Rink. Oh, you know, Cool and the Gang were performing at the inaugural ball for George W. Bush.
No way.
Are they Celebration?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Can anybody name any other song?
I think they played Celebration like 10 times in a row.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Is Celebration different than Celebration?
Nope. Yeah,
that would be very similar.
That'd be
those two pieces of
yeah,
music.
They kind of fall in the same place as the president's favorite group, the YMCA guys. They got one song, and it's not like they're coming to do a whole evening for you.
No.
What's that called? What are they called? The Jungle People?
The Village People.
And that, I know I've said this before. I always confused the Village People with Men at Work because the Village People, when I saw them in their outfits, I thought they were Men at Work because it looks like they were dressed as their jobs.
True.
Well, Men at Work is from Australia.
I didn't know that. I just would get them confused.
They're the ones with the Vegemite sandwich.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, what is a Vegemite sandwich?
It's the nastiest spread
like
of stuff that you've ever put on bread
is
in your life.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I tried it once because of that song.
Yeah.
And I would never do that again.
Can you get a Vegemite sandwich if I'm going out there to one of the delis? Your guys over there in Clayton, what you call them?
Pretzels?
Yeah.
They don't have a Vegemite sandwich at Pretzels.
But you could go by World Market and get yourself Vegemite.
You can.
Could.
And yeah. you oh, would put
a,
it on
Vegemite
your
Vegemite is a thing.
I think it's like meat? It's like a peanut butter almost.
No, it's a spread.
It's actually like a yeasty, salty spread. It's very pungent.
And you throw that sucker between two pieces of bread and you're off to
toast.
The races.
Yeah, I did eat that in Australia and it's not, I didn't care for it at the time.
Well, she just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
What?
Because she knew you were
Vegemite.
That's poetry. That's poetry, Amy. It's our poetry reading here at the Voice of St. Louis.
Love that.
You know, when Steve Moore hired me, our boss, he said and this is a real quote from him, you're not allowed to read poetry on air. I'm like, okay, fine. Take the fun out of radio. Anyway.
How old were you when you got hired here?
I don't know, 12.
Were you in your 20s?
No.
Because he was probably like, I'm hiring a 40-year-old, 23-year-old.
Well, he was hiring a 70-year-old, 37-year-old. Yeah. yeah, 38-year-old. And yeah, he realized his mistake.
The demo
quickly.
We have versus the demo we crave. That's a perfect, perfect hire.
That is a great piece of wisdom because years ago when I was doing overnights at KSD, Radio yeah. Rich came up with this idea then the 11 o'clock hour to do bedtime stories. And he actually read The Hobbit for the last 30 minutes of his radio show. And I thought, thanks for running off anybody who would be listening to me, because now they're either super stoned or they're asleep. So there you go.
There it is.
He's Mike Elam. Michael Kelly is here. John Hancock. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Makes me think of the Cardinals, 1982. Wasn't this their song?
Yeah, 85.
82 was Boys of Summer, I think.
No, 82 was Celebration. That's
oh,
right.
Was? Okay.
85 was The Heat Is On.
Heat Is On.
Yes.
So every time I hear this
heat
song, I always give my wife trouble because she and her friend Denise, when this song came out, mm-hmm. they had their own little dance routine that they did mm-hmm. to this. So now Denise, who also married a guy named Mike, every time this song comes on, Mike and I will all go, okay, ladies, time for the routine.
There you go.
Let's see it.
When's the last time you saw it?
I've never seen it. We've been married 34 years. I've never seen this routine. I have a strong feeling it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what? I miss, speaking of the 80s, I miss aerobics. All the moms did aerobics in the 80s. Do you remember? Like, did your... or sisters do aerobics?
Yeah, what was the name of the show in the morning that would be on TV with the famous lady? And she would work out.
Jane Fonda?
Jane Fonda's workout
and
in the morning.
And they would have
and they
like
would
the
dance.
Arm warmers and the leg warmers
yeah.
and the little step. And does he do her step name? Aerobics?
Denise something?
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards had a whole big thing. Yeah.
I like aerobics.
My wife watches Golden Girls all the time.
Love Golden Girls.
It's always on.
It's my favorite show.
So that's obviously the 80s time frame. And they had that whole thing where the girls were going to get in shape. So they took an aerobics class. And it's just, when you see that, you're like, wow. So that's how people used to dress.
Well, you could accomplish this same thing trying to kill flies in the kitchen.
You have flies in the kitchen?
Yeah. Well, not at the moment, but during
the summer.
But I
feel like it was like, I mean, you were ready to say that.
Well, we had,
it bothering you?
We had a fly infestation in our neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
So you just get the swatters in both hands and get to going, and you've lost 5 pounds.
Did they do the trucks? Were they spray?
You don't want to spray in the kitchen.
And if you have a little...
You know, you got the...
Was it just your kitchen or the whole neighborhood?
The whole neighborhood.
Sir.
We thought it was our kitchen.
Oh.
Georgianne got on the, what do you call it, the Facebook thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, everybody had flies in the kitchen.
Was it the dead bodies that hadn't been cleaned out?
It's hard to say, Michael. All I know is there they were. You turn around, there's another one.
I do not like flies.
There was reference to the Golden Girls, which I remember watching when I was a kid, and I've heard something that I don't know that it's true, but the grandma, the old lady.
Estelle Getty.
She was the youngest of the five of them?
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought she wasn't played the oldest. She was younger than her daughter.
Yeah, she was...
She was younger than Bea Arthur, but I don't think she was the youngest. Because I thought,
but still,
like,
that's crazy, right?
It's crazy. I thought Rue McClanahan really was the youngest. I know all these ladies. And she was supposed to be 40!
And Betty White. Betty White was in that.
Bea Arthur was supposed to be 40 in that?
No, Rue McClanahan was. Blanche.
Blanche.
The slutty one.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. She was supposed to be like 40.
Oh,
which
come
is insane.
On.
I know.
Right.
I know. Hey, I do have bad news for you guys.
Oh, boy.
Norovirus is everywhere. Did you hear about that?
What is it?
Norovirus. That's the bad stomach one.
Oh, so you don't want that.
I have been Cloroxing everything that I've been touching here in Studio B. I don't have it. I just don't want to get it.
Why did you just bring this up out of the middle
because
of nowhere?
Because I heard it on the news, and I just think you guys should wash your hands and use Purell and Clorox wipes. And it's a PSA for everyone listening.
What's it do to you?
Vomiting and diarrhea.
For how long?
Multiple days. Why? Do you want it for a little bit?
Your options? Listen, it is post-holiday. I'd like to lose a couple pounds.
Well, that'll do it. That'll do it.
I'd like to have something to, you know.
You get that Nora O'Donnell virus, boy, you'll be looking
smelt.
Well,
here, hand me the juice. I want to wash
my
hands
now. Right.
It just makes me nervous when Amy, you know, immediately.
Well, I'm terrified of it.
Hey, you guys know about that three-legged spider?
People are talking about being sick.
Give that to Elam over there.
Hey, well, guess who's not afraid of it? Matt, would you like to tell these gentlemen your hot dog story?
I got a hot dog story.
Bring
it. Uh-oh. I'm microwaving a hot dog for lunch here at work.
You know what
they're
made of?
That's what I eat for lunch.
Here at work.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
in that microwave?
In that microwave. Boom, it does not rotate either.
That's the most off-putting part. I just have to say this. Our microwave doesn't spin. And it drives me nuts. It makes me want to vomit. It just feels wrong. That
it doesn't spin.
Oh. It just, your food just sits there.
But I think hot dogs are borderline a food you should not be warming up in a public place.
Oh, I mean, you have to. So I slide the plate into the microwave, and by sliding the plate into the microwave, the hot dog kind of rolls, and it rolls off the plate into the microwave, just sitting there.
Community microwave.
Now you got a dog in the ditch.
Yeah, so I still ate the hot dog.
I was very
hungry. I had to eat the hot dog. But then I'm thinking, you know what? It's not like food is touching the microwave, like the inside of the microwave, is just the plate. It's always people's plates that are in the microwave.
But it spills and they slosh and there's crumbs from food from, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but you're microwaving the hot dog. It's going to kill all the bad stuff.
Are your tetanus shots up?
I think
today?
So. Yeah.
It kills everything.
Yeah. So I'll be fine. I was really hungry that day.
Can I ask, was this immediately before you were violently ill for 3 days?
I think it was before, now that I think about it.
Well, you had a little cold, did you?
I had a bit of a stomach bug a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It could have been this O'Donnell virus. What's that?
You might have had the...
I think I did.
Whatever we call it.
The Nor-O'Donnell virus.
The Nor-O'Donnell virus.
If your body is weathering a hot dog, you're probably able to weather whatever virus
the hot dog?
Might be. Come on, brother. I mean, it's
it
not
could
like,
be the most perfect food.
Come on.
You think about the hot dog and where it's come from.
What it's encased in, and what it's made of.
Well, you got a bun on that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
Bread right there. It's one of the four food groups. You got the hot dog sitting right there.
Yeah.
I remember Dad telling me about the hot dog king in Detroit.
Yeah.
He had the Coney Island shops, you know, and the poor guy passed away. And so his coffin was a
A hot dog?
Hot dog bun.
No, it wasn't.
No way.
And,
is that true?
Are you?
And the people, when they'd come by,
They'd squirt mustard on it.
They'd throw packets of mustard and ketchup.
You are so full of it.
Well, you remember that was a big discussion forever.
I think his name was. Great guy.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
But that was the big discussion a couple of years ago that everybody would say, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
It's not a hot dog.
It's meat between bread. That's pretty much what a sandwich is.
You throw some chili on that sucker.
There you go.
It's not a sandwich.
But Hancock, maybe YouTube tonight. How do they make hot dogs? And watch the YouTube and tell me if you still think it's the greatest meat maybe ever produced.
Well, it's a tube. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
You know.
It's a meat.
It's a tube.
Exactly.
A tube, you know what
full
that
of
tube
meat.
Is?
What could possibly be better than a tube full of meat?
Yeah.
You know, you people, all you liberals out there, you fill it full of tofu and call it meat.
What's wrong with that?
Well, exactly. It's not meat. But the hot dog,
it's a step
for the most
Vegemite.
Part, is meat.
He's John Hancock. Michael Kelly's next to him. Mike Elam's across from me. I'm Amy Marks Kors. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Go change it to try. I feel like I'm in the doctor's office. This is like the waiting room. Hey, a couple of texts here. The first St. Louis team to use Celebration, the song, was the Indoor Soccer Steamers. They would play it immediately after each home game win. And another text from a 636 talked about the snowstorm in 1982. He said, he said, we were at the Aloha roller skating rink in Florissant playing roller hockey and left at midnight. I had a convertible and we had to put the top down to keep the snow from caving in the roof. It was hilarious driving through the snow with the top down in a Cutlass convertible.
Wow. Well, they lived to tell about it, which is
encouraging. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty darn impressive. Okay, gentlemen.
Yep.
We have to do it.
Do what?
We have to talk a little politics.
Sure. Do we? I don't think we have.
We might get in trouble from our boss, Steve, if we don't do it. But let's just...
What's he going to do, fire us? We don't make enough money to
you
get fired.
No, because you don't check your email.
Well, that's true.
Is that how they fire you?
Yeah.
The email?
Apparently.
We're safe.
Yeah, you guys are safe. They can't fire you.
We don't even work here.
That's what makes this so difficult. Okay, do you remember that when Kramer pretends to work at this business and he shows up every day? And the guy said, we have to fire you. And he said, I don't even work here because that's what makes this so difficult. All right, so are we going to have a speaker, John Hancock,
yes.
in time?
Yep.
Okay, so you think the troublemakers like Thomas Massey are going to back down?
Yeah, they're going to get intense pressure put on them, and the stakes are too high if they screw this up, and it's a bad look to start. I mean, it's inconceivable to me that they won't elect Johnson today on the first ballot.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I don't think he stays. I'd be surprised if he makes it to 4th of July in this environment where they're going to have a hard time delivering on the president's agenda because they all don't necessarily agree with it. You know, then you've got the president and this wild card Elon Musk out there tweeting. Look what he did before to the economic bill before the end of the year. Elon was able to turn that thing on its head. So anything can happen here, but I don't think after the 4th of July.
Another guy whose first and last names contain four letters.
Yeah.
Wow, you're on a roll.
We're on a theme. It's thematic. It's what we do here on the radio.
We're
going
to be pointing that out to each other for the next several years.
Yeah, we will.
Friday name game.
It's what we call the leitmotif. Okay, so when Kevin McCarthy was ousted, was that not the first time that the party ousted its own speaker?
In 100 years.
In 100 years.
But that didn't happen at the beginning of a Congress either. This is unusual because they can't convene the House now. They can't swear in the new members now. They can't, in theory, certify the election results on January 6th if they don't get this done. Now, they could figure out a way around that, perhaps. I just don't think I don't think this is a crisis we're going to face.
And this is a question, John. With only a two-seat majority, they have to know what's going to happen before they walk onto that floor because the Democrats will vote for the Democratic leader. And if one or two Republicans were to abstain, then technically the Democrats would have the majority and could elect the speaker, could they not?
Well, no, because then the threshold for a majority goes down if they abstain.
Okay.
So it will no longer take 219 votes to win. So it would take five Republicans abstaining to elect Jeffries.
So the only way a Democrat could really probably get there is if a Republican went and voted.
Yeah,
for
that's not going to happen.
Understood, yeah. But who knows? Right. We almost saw it before.
So going into the new year, I know 2024 was stressful for everyone, but I do feel like there are some bright spots for 2025. What are you guys most hopeful for or looking forward to regarding local or national politics?
I'm most hopeful about Governor Mike Kehoe, and I'm sure that's surprising to a lot of people to hear that from the Democrat. And why? I've accepted the reality that I'm a Democrat in a Republican state. And unfortunately, we've had Republicans who have made their bones and made their way to office by running against St. Louis, making St. Louis the demon of the state. And the reality is St. Louis is the economic engine of this whole state. I mean, yeah, what's going on in Kansas City is wonderful, but most of that expansion of population is happening in another state. It's not happening here. We need St. Louis to survive and be healthy. The fact that we have a man who comes from the city of St. Louis or from the St. Louis area, I think realizes the monumental issues that are facing not only the city of St. Louis, but St. Louis County as well. And realizes that we're in transition. It gives me hope that we're not going to get the reflexive St. Louis is the problem, let's make it worse response from Jefferson City. So that's what I'm most hopeful for, is that Mike Kehoe is going to be a beacon of shining light in a really dismal situation in this region.
And I guess, you know, from my perspective, I share those same expectations for Kehoe. On the national level, you know, I hope that some of the regulatory reforms that were the hallmark of the first Donald Trump administration will be re-implemented and that will be stimulative for the economy. I hope that works. And I'm expectant that it could, as long as it doesn't get lost in a circus. So having a reasonable, measured approach to the border to stem the flow of illegal immigration, I think, makes us safer. So I'm optimistic on a couple of fronts.
Mm-hmm. I'm from an optimistic on a national standpoint. It's that the Republicans have a tough task ahead of them. They brought a lot of non-traditional folks to their party in this last election. They made some promises that are not traditionally Republican things, whether it be, you know, no tax on Social Security and so many of the things that Donald Trump promised. And I think the Democratic Party's in a unique spot of sitting back and saying to the Republicans, shut up and put up, deliver, and be able to put a spotlight on the many of the promises that were made in this campaign that brought many of you traditional Democrats to their side. You were duped. And I just think this president's going to have a hard time delivering on many of those things.
You know, if they pass this no tax on tips thing, I think I'm going to tell my clients that I will work for free. But they can feel free to tip me if they like.
Can I Venmo you?
Tip only?
Can I Venmo you? No, because if it's over $600, you'll get taxed on that. They won't call it a tip.
That's how you tip on a golf course now. You know, when the lady comes or the person comes with drinks and stuff.
And also the parking spot.
Yeah.
The parking spot, they'll have a QR code for the driver's Venmo, which I'm always grateful for because I do not carry cash and I'm a horrible planner.
Right.
Which means when I travel, I don't have cash. Like I didn't think ahead to get cash before it was too late. So yeah, the QR codes, you can use that on the parking spot
buses.
Fellow
white males of certain age, Venmo?
No.
I have Venmo.
You don't? I don't.
Okay.
We're like dinosaurs, Hancock, because Elam's got a Venmo, for goodness sakes.
Hip and
Amy's
trendy,
got a Venmo. My niece has got a Venmo, and you and I, we're what are we doing?
Well, I don't like, you know, you got the thing on your phone there. And yeah. There's no money in this phone.
Well, okay, here's what I don't have, which everyone around me has, and I feel like a dinosaur. I don't have Apple Pay or my credit card on my phone. I can't pay with my phone.
Oh, I have both.
You just hold the phone up to the...
Similar reason, though, to you, because I never carry cash.
Yeah.
Like, my wife doesn't allow me to have cash, right? So
yeah,
I
just, smart.
I use everything electronically. What's funny is, so my wife is a hairstylist, and she works in a salon there in Winghaven. That has got about 17 stylists in it, and they will, you know, buy lunch and stuff like that, when somebody goes to get some food, then they just Venmo each other money back and forth all the time. And it's kind of like having an account. Like if you're a gamer and you have money in your account and that's your gaming money, they use that to just go back and forth. So, they don't take it out.
Always come out of your bank account.
Because the idea
of having that many transactions and then wanting to balance my bank account.
No, they just kind of have it. So you'll
kind of, it. You can just
kind
keep
of
it
preload
Venmo.
It. And then you send it and you receive it and it kind of stays in that little account.
It's almost like having cash.
It's almost like having
amazing.
Cash.
It
is. But you don't have to take a wallet with you.
Well, there you go.
You know, my mom, I remember this like it was yesterday. She would give my dad a envelope full of cash.
Yep.
And that's his 2 weeks groceries, and he did all the grocery shopping. And that's the way they operated.
My parents used to do that envelope system.
Yeah.
That was a financial system
that
many households used to use. And when dad would get the paycheck, he would go to the bank, he would cash the check, he would bring the cash home, and they would have all their bills lined up with, here's the electric bill, here's the gas bill, here's the grocery money, here's all the house money. They would put all that in different envelopes, actual cash, and that's how they paid their bills.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in line behind your dad to see if she'd had an envelope for you?
No, we didn't do allowances when I was a kid.
No, me
neither. Didn't either.
We didn't either.
We had no allowances. It wasn't my dad, but another dad said this. I just thought it was a great line because the kid, the dad asked the kid to mow the grass that summer. He's like, "Are you going to pay me?" He said, "No, I'm not going to pay you." He's like, "Well, what am I getting out of this?" He goes, "What are you getting? A house, a roof, meals every day." He goes, "You're not living at a resort, buddy."
I think we all had that dad.
Yeah.
That's how mine sounded.
Yeah. No, my mom and dad were really funny because I've inherited my mom's love of shopping. I love shopping. But I also inherited, like, my dad. My dad called it excessive frugality. He's like, "I'm not cheap. I'm excessively frugal." And so he would feel, I feel guilty now for spending the money. I still spend it because I inherited the shopping gene, but I just feel really guilty about it. So I have a little bit of both parents. But my mom was really good with, like, her budget, you know, every month or whatever. And she didn't write anything down. And she always said, "I can feel it.
I can feel it.
There is some truth to that.
I'm telling you, down to the dime, my mom could feel how
much.
Because my dad would go, and I always knew when he was doing the bills, because you'd hear from the back room, "Hey, Donna." And I'd be like, "Oh, here we go." And then he could say, like, "How much do you think you spent?" And she would, like, go through in her head, and by golly, if she couldn't do it down to the dime. Like,
That's impressive.
She was, "I feel like it was a good month."
I've got that.
One time, my dad called her in, and she was like, it's like $3,000, like, a lot, like, over. And she's like, I know that wasn't me. And my dad's like, this is a lot of money. We got to, you know, keep track. And then they went through it, and she came out so excited. She's like, "The credit card was stolen. I knew it wasn't me." She was like, I knew it wasn't me. She was so happy.
Could she do this? And can you do this, Hancock? When you get a basket of groceries?
Yeah.
When you get up to the checkout,
do you pretty much know
within $5 what you're going to be?
Well, maybe not five, but I'm.
Yeah.
But you agree with that? There's something to be to feeling the budget.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No question. I've got that too. I'm like that with campaign budgets. I just have this sense of, you know.
That is so impressive.
Well, I mean, it's just nothing I did.
It's just a God-given talent.
It's
talent of spending other people's money for 25 years. Yeah.
When we're about to run out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Smells like broke.
It's one of the underappreciated fruits of the spirit.
It is.
Well, John Hancock, Michael Kelly.
Yes.
It's always the best day of the week.
Yes. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy
congratulations
New Year.
Again on the TV show anniversary.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
That was very good.
How many years is it here, KMOX, Hancock?
17.
Wow.
Wow. You guys were babies.
Yeah.
He was
longer than I went to school.
25 minutes is longer than you.
Hi, guys.
See ya.
Mike Elam in for Chris Ronji. I'm Amy Mark Scores. This is KMOX.
One clever conversation.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
I hate to bring up the norovirus again. I'm so sorry, everyone. But you hear about viruses on cruise ships, like people getting vomiting and diarrhea, and that's just part of the risks, I guess, when you go cruising. But this last month in December, nearly 900 passengers and crew members across five outbreaks were afflicted with norovirus. Now, the CDC is reporting that cases are way up on land, too. But it's called the two-bucket disease.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Are you a cruiser, Mike?
I am not.
I'm not a cruiser either.
No. And stories like this keep me from wanting to be.
Yes. Yeah. No. And I laugh because one time Bob Costas was on, one of the times that Bob Costas was on with Charlie Brennan, Charlie seamlessly weaves in his live advertisements, his live endorsements,
always,
right, into a conversation.
He's a king.
He's the best at
it.
So while he was talking to Bob Costas towards the end of a segment, he goes, "Well, Bob, you know, have you ever been on a cruise?" And Bob Costas launched into a 9-minute jeremiad against cruising.
Oh, wow.
All the reasons why he would never go on a cruise with a mastery of English language that only Bob Costas has. At which point, Charlie then had to do a cruise endorsement and said, "Well, we're going to have to apologize for this."
Well, I guess Bob's
funny.
Not going to be joining us as we cruise across Europe.
He will not. And, Mike, I know you've seen this, but the snowmageddon that they're predicting, first of all, what are you hearing? And just so people know, we're not going to speculate all day long. We will be talking to a meteorologist at 11:30, so in the next hour. But what have you heard? Because every single person I've talked to has a different snow accumulation total.
Most people that I've heard is 3 to 6 inches,
okay.
Although I subscribe to the between 2 and 23 inches.
Yes.
Is what we're getting, because that's how much faith I have in meteorology.
Well, I ran into a friend at the grocery store yesterday, and she said she heard between 1 and 12. I'm like, well, that's not...
Yeah, exactly.
I could say that.
Yeah.
That's what... I mean, if I had to give you the weather,
I feel
would say
really good about that.
Between 1 and 12.
That was always the joke that we had of when somebody had a new baby. How big was the baby? It was somewhere between 2 and 23 pounds.
Right. That's a pretty safe, guess.
Yep. It was a male or female.
And I know Michael Kelly said he heard like 20 inches. I never heard the 20
inches. I never heard
that.
No, I never heard that much.
Yeah. So we will find out at 11:30. We've got an AccuWeather meteorologist. Here's what I saw yesterday.
Uh-oh.
The grocery stores were wiped out. Now, lest everybody panic, I think it may be a little bit of it was anticipating the snow, but I think more of it was the stores being wiped out from New Year's and them not restocking on New Year's Day, right?
Well, I wonder how many of the food trucks have made it so far.
Right.
You know, because I'm sure the delivery people were off for New Year's. So if you had that and you had a whole bunch of people who grabbed stuff on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, then they haven't had a chance to restock yet. Yesterday was probably that restocking day.
Yeah.
So I'm sure today things will probably be better. But I don't get the whole, let's go, you know, buy all this stuff for French toast. I don't like French toast that much. Why are bread and milk the staples?
I know.
I just don't drink that much milk, and I don't eat that much bread.
I don't either.
I'm going to make sure there's beer.
I mean,
essentials. Let's be honest.
Or tequila for some.
There
I mean,
you go.
I'm not saying.
I'm not picky.
I'm just,
you know.
Yeah, just suggesting.
I'm not here to throw rocks.
Some good Reposado tequila.
You do you.
Club soda and ice. You don't really need anything else.
Well, at that point, you don't care as much about the snow
that's,
and ice.
That's right.
Are you stuck at home?
And you shouldn't be driving anyway at that point.
That's right.
What? Like, you're doubling up. You shouldn't be on the roads anyway.
I'm just here to be safe at home.
That's right. Okay, Mike, and I know you'll have the rebound for this.
Uh-oh.
But Tesla's annual sales fell for the first time in more than a decade. So pretty unusual. But Tesla's global EV sales last year fell 1.1% from 2024. It's the first overall year-over-year decline since 2011. But Mike Elam, what's their new advertising campaign in order to bump Tesla sales again?
Oh, I think this comes back to Tesla's. You can blow up in our vehicle and not hurt anyone around you.
I mean,
the most secure tank truck you've ever driven.
You had told me that like any other car, right, would have done a lot of damage. And I was reading a CNN story, and that was their lead. And it is a tragic, not to trivialize, a tragic event. But the makeup, the tank-like structure of the Tesla truck, which personally I think is the ugliest thing in the world, but because it's built less like a tank,
it
really did contain a lot of the damage that explosion.
It was a great learning lesson for terrorists around the world. If you're picking a vehicle to go blow stuff up, don't pick a Tesla truck.
Yeah, that's...
It will only kill the terrorists.
I mean, it's pretty true.
What's
that's pretty
Ahmad
true.
The Dead Terrorist with Jeff Dunham, his pilot?
What?
Ahmad the Dead Terrorist. Stop! Silence! I killed you! You don't know Jeff Dunham?
The comedian ventriloquist?
Oh.
No!
Jeff Dunham.
No.
He was a comedian.
Oh.
Is he old?
Ahmad the Dead Terrorist is one of his puppets that he uses, and his thing is, silence! I kill you!
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Let me get you out.
Stay tuned. We'll get you out soon. This will be great.
He's Mike Elam. I'm Amy Markscores. Scott Jagow joins us next, as he does every Friday. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.